It was a tall building also?
No, in some places it had two stories, uh-huh. but it really wasn't a tall building.
Mainly wide then?
Huh? Yeah, and spread out.
Spread out.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And
had a lot of tents around too.
Yeah. Uh-huh. With outside of the building?
Was yeah, outside.
Uh-huh. What were the tents for?
Well, they was a building. Now they were. I don't know where they were modifying the old Neptunes. They was all done out in tents, and then we weren't supposed to go out of our area nosing around to see about these places. So I couldn't tell you what they were, but they were working in there.
Uh-huh. Now you you said it was cold. What was the lighting like inside?
The lighting was good.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had they were big bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think at B1 they always used the big bulb. But then when I went over to I rehired in 51, they had the fluorescent lighting over at A1.
Mm-hmm. But at the B1 plant, during the war, they were just big.
Yeah, they'd have to put those, when they had to replace the bulb, put it in a stick.
What was the part of the plane that you started work on when you first went to work?
The shrouds for the air ducts. Uh-huh. I think they were just a temporary covering.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next was the center section of the P-38. You know, it had the two booms,
mm-hmm.
and it was a center section in between.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tanks. See, I don't know just where those, can't tell you now just where those tanks are situated.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the three parts that I worked on.
Mm-hmm. So you started out putting shrouds over the air ducts. Where were the, in the plane? Were you working in a small space or in a...
No, I was working on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, if I remember right, that section, you know, where the air duct comes
mm-hmm.
out, the side of the plane was tilted over.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, stick that. It was just a temporary work. It was a piece.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't permanent on the ship until they assembled it and put on... A different type, but this is for a protection.
Mm-hmm. So how would you attach it?
Well, you had the thing they call clecos, that you put them in a pair of pliers and press it, and that draw those split tongues up like that. You put that shroud up there, put it through a hole, and pinch that, and it stuck.
Uh-huh.
You know, they opened up and held the shroud on there.
Almost like the way a toggle bolt works or something?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So it
split.
When you put it in, yeah. And it split mm-hmm. on the other side and held it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It was like a canvas shroud that went over the air duct?
No, there was no canvas.
What was the shroud made of?
Aluminum.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it was all aluminum. No, there was no...
Okay, for some reason, shrouds, I think, and <wrong. laughs> I don't have enough canvas.
Oh, but...
So it was an aluminum covering.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're called
clecos, you think? Clecos, yeah. The fasteners, that the temporary fasteners that you put, they call it skin,
mm-hmm.
onto the airplane. You fasten those on with clecos. The holes are drilled and everything's in line. That's the purpose of a jig,
mm-hmm.
so that all the holes will come out in the proper place. Well, then you just go along snapping these clecos
mm-hmm.
in and hold it in place.
Yeah. Did you do the drilling also, or did you, did someone else do that before you got the...
I don't recall whether we did the drilling. I know I had to dimple those too. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time they said somebody either had turned the dimples, you know, the way you dimpled a shed, a machine that, we used it for riveting. It had worked with compressed air, mm-hmm. and they put these dimples, one would be hollowed out, and then the other would, express myself, would have a little hole in it, but would be, one would be the underneath would be the saucer, and then the other one would be, come down, fit in there, mm-hmm. so that, you've seen how snaps work together.
Right, okay, so one part would be like the top, mm-hmm. kind of thing, the other would fit right into it.
So, I went over and dimpled my shroud, and, when I got it done, I see the dimple was the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Well, they told me that, don't ever try to redimple it. Turn it over and redimple it because it'll cut right out. Well, I thought it was in the corner where it could easily be patched anyway. So I did, and nothing happened. It just... It's pretty a dimple, as you please. Uh-huh. But I learned then to check, get a piece of scrap metal and check it before. But
you mean all the things that they told you might not or work, you tried out for yourself to see if they...
Well, I didn't deliberately try it out, but if I got in a jam, I'd try it out to see.
That's great. Yeah. So you were doing, it sounds like a couple of different things. You do the dimpling part on it too, and then you would also do the things with the
Clicos. Well, we had to measure to see how much that we had to trim off of that shroud. We'd take a grease pencil like the there's this opening here, mm-hmm. like a window. Mm-hmm. And we'd take a grease pencil and go around the edges like that, mm-hmm. and then slam that shroud up there and whack it down. And, well, it'd leave that grease pencil to leave a mark on the shroud to wear, so we'd know just how much to trim off.
Uh-huh. So you're often doing... You had to do several different kinds of little operations.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know roughly, say it in a shift, how many of those you would do?
I don't remember now. I know, of course, there was other riveting things we had to do, and... I know at the time we were putting three ships a night through the line. Mm-hmm. So, but it's been so long ago.
Yeah. So the whole operation from start to finish on a plane, they would finish three planes in one night.
They wouldn't be finished. They'd be ready for the final line, uh-huh. to go down,
uh-huh.
or to be assembled in. I wouldn't say the final line because. Our part would be taken to put on the plane someplace else in a different operation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you might say if just making parts, they were huge, but mm-hmm. at that time it was just like the center section. When we'd complete it, why they'd come along with a overhead crane, pick that up and take it over to set it onto the... plane wherever they was working on the on that, mm-hmm. you know, the assembling the cockpit and the two booms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
the operation was so fast that it was hard hard to tell you had to work so fast that you didn't have time to look and see where things went went after you was through with it.
Mm-hmm. Did in the area where you were working, how many people would work with you, say, in that department? How many people were right in your area?
I'll tell you the truth, I didn't know just exactly where, I can't say department because that was Department 16, I forget the prefix, I think it was 1916, I'm pretty sure. Department 16 was huge, it was very big, so we just worked in areas. It's just like the shroud work there, that was one area. And then you go down here a little ways, and where the center section was another. And then on back of it, back to the wall, was the tanks.
Mm-hmm. So right in the shroud section, about how many people were there? Would you say?
Well, there must have been 20 or 30.
Uh-huh. Were most of those people women?
There was, I would say about half and half. It'd be older men because the young men were all overseas, with exception the Navy came in and worked on, you see, at that time we were building the P-38s for the Navy, mm-hmm. and they'd send a lot of Navy boys in to work on the ships to hurry them through.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so except for them, though, the men were older.
Yeah, they were all older men.
Uh-huh.
At least they were average, you would say, about 40.
Uh-huh. And then there were... the rest, then there were women, and what were the, women younger or older?
They was all about, there was quite a few young women. They was servicemen's wives.
Mm-hmm.
And the older women, they all worked up doing bench work where they could sit down. And Ziggy...
hurting anything. But so the older women you said were doing
bench work. Mm-hmm.
And then say women in about your age range at the time were there.
They were on the assembly line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you were doing this work, and you had said that when you went to work, you had two other women. Worked with you? Did they work especially close to you, or?
Well, there's some things that there had to be two,
mm-hmm.
and of course they were they'd been there a little longer than I had, and they had been working on the job, so they were supposed to show me the job,
mm-hmm.
but. I used to think, oh, they're smart. Maybe I better not, might cut this off. But I thought that was smart, that covered up a lot of their butches.
So the people that you thought really knew their job when you first went in there, as you got to know more, you're saying you found out they didn't really know what they were doing after.
Yeah.
Did when you're working in an area and someone would be making mistakes, how would that be handled?
I'd have to call the supervisor, and he'd tell them how to remedy it, or if they could, somebody get somebody that could.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one girl, and she was. Drilling in this center section, and I thought all the time that she'd been there, she was working there when I went over from school. And how long it took them to discover that she wasn't getting her hole straight. She was holding her motor at an angle like that. So one day she didn't have her job. They put her someplace else. And someone asked her why she wasn't drilling those holes out anymore. She says the Navy didn't like the way I drilled my holes. Oh, I don't know how many ships I'd see her up there and those holes would just go up at a slant.
About a 45-degree angle.
Hmm.
So, did people cover for one another much, or did you?
No, not seldom ever. But, because they had always instructed us, if we made a butch, tell them about it. Mm-hmm. And usually they'd fix it up, and sometimes it was minor. Seldom ever we had any that couldn't be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But they did catch some of them that, that peening. That's when they a rivet didn't quite cover the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Why they'd take like little peening hammers and they'd just tap that and tap that and tap that till the aluminum went in,
mm-hmm.
filled the crack around the rivet head. Well, that supervisor come to me and he said, "You know, you're not supposed to peen." And I said, "What the devil's peen?" Well, he says, "Your partner over there is an expert at it." And he took me over and showed me what it was. And I said, "Heavens, I didn't even think of doing a thing like that." I said, "If I'd have just drilled it out and put a bigger rivet in."
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said, "That's what you're supposed to do." And he said, the supervisor said to her, he said, "I just tell them, dear, that you're expert at peening. Now I want you to cut it out."
Mm-hmm.
Next night, I said, bang, bang, bang.
She's still doing it.
Yeah, she kept at it.
Yeah. You said earlier when you had went to work with the women that you thought knew what they were doing and didn't learn, I guess, that you didn't like working with them. Why was that?
Oh, it's arrogant and overbearing and tried to make you believe they knew it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's, well, they'd be the type of person, too, that if they made an error, they'd say, "You did it."
Oh.
Like one girl said, to another one time, and the other one was new, I overheard it. She said she kept clenching the rivet instead of bucking the bucked head while it kept bending over. And here, the one that was shooting it was the one that was putting the long rivets in. She said, "Well, I told you twice those rivets are too long." Well, she's the one putting them in.
Did the women seem to work well together, or was it everywhere, or was it?
As a rule, yes, they worked pretty good together.
Uh-huh.
Because, well, that was another company rule. They better.
Hmm. Did the company talk to you about things like that when you were hired,
Oh, yes, they give us orientation about how to get along with people. And if we were put with a colored person, or black, I should say,
mm-hmm.
we was to work with that person,
mm-hmm.
unless they were so obnoxious or that you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I never run across any of them that I couldn't work with.
Mm-hmm. Did you work with many black workers?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think the most fun I ever had was there was four of us together working. That's after we went up on the jet. It was two myself, another white girl, and two colored girls. I think we got more work done, more fun along with it than anybody.
Now, was that after you went back later, or is that...
No, that was during the war. That was really after the war, because we worked a year after the war was over. We worked a year on the jets. They called them the P-80 then. Mm-hmm. That was the first jets.
Mm-hmm. So working on the shrouds, were there black women workers around you then?
Or? Oh, the blacks? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. All... Even after I went back in 51, mm-hmm. it was, oh yeah, they had to hire the blacks. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them, excellent workers too.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I'm sorry.
I wouldn't, I guess I didn't have anything to say.
So you were saying that you thought they were just as good workers as...
Yeah, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And the Mexicans too. They worked just as hard and diligent and conscientious as, and some of them was really more so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I worked with them all. I worked with Chinese. It was Filipinos, Hawaiians.
This is during the war. They had all of these different kinds of ethnic groups working there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, when you were working there, did you, how long did you work on the shroud before you asked to be transferred?
No, it was more than a month.
Mm-hmm. And that was because you had mm-hmm. to keep reaching
yeah.
up over your
mm-hmm.
head and it was not comfortable for you. How did you feel at the end of, say, your first day working there?
Well, I was tired, but I was always used to hard work.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. It was just something new to me, and I was thrilled with it, and I liked it. And, I never was really tired until, or just disgusted until I had to go on days a few months before I was laid off.
Until then, you really enjoyed the work?
Oh, I couldn't wait for, we worked 6 days a week, and if we wanted to, we'd work every other Sunday. But I just couldn't wait till Monday to get back to work. Along with the work, we had fun. So it was, my husband was a railroad man, and he was... slept days most of the time, and he always wanted you right there in the house, and it was just like turning a bird loose, like giving it its freedom. Just get out there and talk. You could talk. Never had anybody to talk to before, you know, when you live in the city, and then everybody, they're either the type you don't want to talk to, or else they're gone, so...